Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Well, I'm going to need oven gloves to touch that podcast. It's burning hot. Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast. Who's that over there?
James Acaster, actually.
It's James Acaster there on the horizon.
Hello.
And it's me, Ed Gamble, here, sat in my little lighthouse watching James. Welcome to the Dream Restaurant. We are going to be interviewing a special guest today, as we always do, about their
dream meal. We're going to be asking them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink.
Yes, and our guest this week in the Dream Restaurant is... Keris Matthews. That's right, the actual Keris Matthews from Catatonia and stuff. And guess what? She's multi-talented. She's written an actual cookbook with poems in it and stuff.
Poems and short stories. What a cookbook.
What a cookbook.
It's called Where the Wild Cooks Go.
It is. I've been perusing it today. It's very exciting. There's some really cool recipes in there. And also some really nice little simple recipes of things that I'm going to try when I get home. Because bad luck, Keris, I remembered them with my mind.
You're very good at memorising stuff, aren't you?
Yeah.
Sometimes Ed just goes into the library and just looks at the book and then goes home.
Yeah, ask
and
me anything. At home. I've got a photographic memory. Ask me anything.
How many legs does a spider have?
4.
Correct.
As per usual, there is a secret ingredient that if the special guest says the secret ingredient, they will be kicked out of the restaurant. Even though it's Keris Matthews.
It hurts to do it. Pains me to do it, but you know.
And the special ingredient, and the secret ingredient this week is sugar work. That's right, sugar work. You know when you go to a fancy-ass restaurant and they bring you the pudding and on top they have put basically something that is like, it looks like a spring sometimes, but it has also the consistency of a spring.
Yeah, sometimes it's like a little climbing frame or whatever. But you see them do it on a MasterChef and stuff like that. They make a dessert and they have to do some sugar work, just like working with caramel and sponge sugar or whatever to make it look all fancy. And actually, no one wants to eat that.
Breaks your teeth. It's like they put the pudding in a cage.
Yep. No, thank you.
I think I'd like this pudding in prison, please. Oh, no. Yeah. So if Keris says I'd like some sugar work on that, you're out, Keris. So sorry.
Yeah, it hurts me to do it, but you'll be out.
But let's not go into this negatively. I'm sure she's going to be a wonderful guest.
Yes.
This is the off-menu menu of
Keris Matthews.
Welcome, Keris, to the Dream Restaurant.
I'm so happy to be here. I'm starving. I hope you've got some food for me.
Well, we... Oh, now.
Welcome, Keris Matthews, to the Dream Restaurant. We've got so much food for you.
Something to flag at the top, Keris, is James is a genie waiter in this. So he's a genie and he'll be bringing you all your dream food.
Is that why he's wearing silk pants?
Yes.
Correctamundo.
Hot. It's hot enough. Yeah. In this kitchen.
Sorry. I didn't know I'd be pushing some buttons today. In my silk pantaloons.
What's the saying when if it's too hot, get out of the kitchen?
Yeah. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen.
That's the one, yeah. Poof, it's hot.
Yeah.
If you can't stand the heat, change the material of your pantaloons.
Yeah. And these pantaloons are highly flammable silk pantaloons.
It's the elasticated waist I like.
It is, yeah. It's very good.
Something very specifically...
With braces to hold them up as well. It's very, very odd look for silk pantaloons.
Stop anyone doing that classic schoolboy thing.
De-keg me.
No!
I used to work in the kitchen where that happened a lot, actually. I used to work in kitchens before the stand-up and... One kitchen, people pull each other's trousers down all the time.
Because it's rock and roll.
Yes.
You know, people think rock and rollers are the rock and rollers, but they're not. It's the kitchen, what goes on in the kitchen, as per Anthony Bourdain's book.
Right.
It's an incredible book, that.
It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Anthony.
Absolutely. A lot of cocaine flying around in kitchens by the sounds of it.
Is that in the is it a cookbook?
No, it's not. That's not a recipe.
It's not in my book.
No. Because you've got a cookbook.
I've got flour in my book, guys.
And
sodium bicarbonate. Give me some white powder now.
It's called Where the Wild Cooks Go. So that
implies a little bit about nature. And a little bit about it not being that she kind of cooking, you know. I'm not a pristine cook. I can't bear, having to be completely exact. So most of these recipes, in fact, probably all of them, you know, if you make mistakes, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Or if you haven't got one ingredient, you can kind of improvise. That's the way I like it.
Sure, that's a much more realistic way of going about things, isn't it? Because we always forget stuff, realistically.
Like, you know, who's in the mood to go shopping at the end of a day's work?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Oh, mm-hmm. Gosh, you know, got to get the sort of unpasteurized milk, you know, from the farmer's market. You know, all that's kind of...
Yeah.
Who in all reality does that?
Yes.
If you're working as well. So it has to be pretty practical.
So if you don't have cocaine, you can always...
You can use sodium bicarb and have a brilliant day next day. Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
No paranoia.
And how long have you... Because, have you always, been into cooking something your whole life, or has it been quite a recent thing, a recent passion?
Oh, no, totally. My mum was a rubbish cook. She only ate chicken and chips. And then when we'd come home, I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, and we'd come home from school and we'd be like starving, and she'd be like, well, your crispy fried Findus's are in the freezer waiting for you. Because in the 80s, and I don't know if you were around in the 80s, but it was like everyone seemed to have like a, this is what she did. So she got this deep fryer, those deep frying pots. And so it was either like chips or deep fried Findus.
Or just stick it all in the pot.
Or like cod's roe. Do you remember tins of cod's roe that you could fry and then eat with lime pickle? But anyway.
That sounds quite nice.
Fry tins of cod's roe?
Yeah. I mean, you'd fry them in the fryer. I don't know if that's normal. But anyway, in short, she wasn't a good cook. And then my dad got a taste of for curry, hence the lime pickle everywhere.
Yeah.
And so he kind of made my mum... you know, get rid of the vest, the curries, and try. And she got friendly with a lady from Gujarat. So she started cooking, and that was it. It was amazing. So we had curry all the time, dals and rotis and puris and okra, and that was it.
And she was good at cooking the curry.
She's bloody good at cooking.
Wow!
Curry.
So it was like a food revolution.
It was a complete sort of change. It was like Superman from Ken Clark. Is that the right thing?
Yeah.
It really was. Clark Kent.
Yeah, Ken Clark, I think, invented shoes or something.
Ken Clark was when they found out...
He's a new politician.
Yeah.
When they found out Clark Kent was Superman, he had to change his identity again very quickly.
Changed
it to Kent Clark.
Yeah. Evan fell for it.
Yeah.
Weirdly.
Of course they did.
So we always start off with the choice of still or sparkling water.
Sparkling.
Oh, so quick.
Party,
what a quick answer.
Party. No, seriously, because otherwise it's just water.
Sure. It's quite boring and dull, but when you have a
few bubbles in it, it like tickles your mouth.
The little tickle at the mouth, little party. So it's all, I mean, yeah, we've already talked about the partying in Bourdain's book, and now already the first thing is a party for you.
It's a slightly more acceptable legal party.
Yeah. Well, no, the thing is, you were asking about cooking and stuff. Like, I think one of my favourite, you know, the best thing that you can do in life is have great company. Make sure you surround yourself with, you know, people you like. That's the one. Great food, you know, a drink that you like, and music and a fire, and you cook.
Now, are you cooking on the fire?
Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot
this
of that.
This is the first time in the Dream Restaurant we've allowed anyone to have an open fire, I think.
So I've got to get an open fire going, that's fair enough.
Yeah, I love fires. I love them.
So where are we then? If you've got a fire, is this inside, outside?
Okay, so my usual setup these days is Kotlich. So it's Balkan area. I think Hungary is where it's from. Uh-huh. But I could be wrong, so I'd have to fact check after. But definitely the Balkans. So it's a system, a tripod, where you hang an enamelled sort of rounded cauldron on a chain.
Oh wow! This is on. There's a picture of this on the front of the book.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
Well, a little sketch of that.
Exactly. Mm. And the beauty of this is that if you're cutting down meat and you don't want to have an all-out, you know, burger sausage blowout,
yeah,
you can. You know, it absolutely opens your options to cook anything you want. You don't have to just use a grill, but you can also get grill attachments, and you can get like a paella attachment.
So nice!
It's superb.
It sort of looks like a
witch
little sketch.
Thing.
It's a witch's thing, right?
Yeah.
And feels like you should be cooking a child.
The word witch apparently comes from Old English, meaning wise woman. And I like that idea. Because that's the other thing about cooking. I don't associate it with being like, you know, shackled to the kitchen and another job. Because I can just, if I don't want to cook, I can, you know, do what? You know, we have options to go out and buy ready-made, and we can get takeaways and all the rest of it. But I find, like, I feel empowered if I know how to make these things, so I don't have to go out and buy takeaways or have to buy ready-made, because I know the answers. So there's loads of keys in this book, how to make fajita, how to make your spice mixes, so you don't have to go out to the shop all the time, because you've got the whole spices and you just know what makes garam masala or what makes fajita mix and all the rest of it. Because I think it's empowering.
Yeah.
And I want my kids to be able to, you know, put two fingers up at ready-made foods if they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when
they save money as well.
When did you get into the cauldron?
I've always loved fires.
Right, okay. Okay. Go on.
When did your relationship
with fires start?
You know, always. Like, when I was a kid, I'd always, like, you know, nudge people out of the way, and I'd be in charge of the barbecue.
Right.
You know, because like I said, my mum didn't cook very well. And I loved fires. My dad actually loves fires as well.
My dad's always in charge of the barbecue, but it's definitely a way so he doesn't have to speak to anyone.
Yeah, well, that's another thing I love about cooking, actually, and fires, you know, whichever way you're cooking, I mean, it's all about fire and heat anyway, is you're in a zone.
Yeah.
So you're in that zone. You're in, like, there's room for one captain of this ship. You're in the kitchen. You know, you look as if you're busy so you don't get into trouble.
Yeah.
You've got your music that you love on, and you've got a bottle open of wine.
Yeah.
And you're in the zone.
Oh, I completely associate with that. It's perfect.
Mess around you, you know, if somebody asks you for something, you go, oh, can you ask your dad to help you?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
And you can go and host, you can go back and be like, is everyone all right? How's everything going? But then you can always go, sorry, I've just got to go and get something out of the oven.
Yeah. Oh! Got to check.
And then just go and have a moment to yourself. It's perfect.
I'm glad that's exactly what it is.
It's like I did it on my birthday once. I DJed my own birthday party.
So you didn't have to talk?
Yeah.
But that's really sad.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that was quite sad, actually. Now you bring it up.
I thought I was getting involved. I thought we were all related to each other.
Especially when you were playing Spandau Ballet.
Yeah, I
said
that.
No, it's a similar situation. You were sort of barbecuing the beats.
Yeah, I was barbecuing the beats. and, you know, people could come over and chat to me a little bit, but I was like, I've got to play the next song, guys. I'm sorry. You know, it's good.
I love
low
that.
Pressure. Yeah, pop it up to our bread. Pop it up to our bread.
Pop it, Doms. Spicy ones.
Of course, I mean,
like thin breads because then it doesn't make you.
Yeah, that's often the issue at the beginning of the meal. If they bring a big hunk of bread,
and you know, it's not good for you anyway. All this sort of refined carbohydrates, they know that now. So, what do they say? The more The more white bread, the sooner you're dead. Have you heard of that?
No, but I'm going to start. One. I'm going to start using it. But I'm going to use it when I eat white bread.
I don't know where I got it from. My mum probably. But anyway, no thin bread. Then you can really enjoy it without like worrying about it. Like in Sardinia, where they have those massive.
Yes,
pieces of bread,
the crispy ones, yeah.
like the Italian kind of bread sticky things, but they're the delicious in Sardinia.
Do they call it like it's something? It's like music paper, I think it translates as.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's translated.
Can we find
something
out?
Carter, yeah.
Music paper.
I love that.
Yeah, because it's very, very thin and they sell them in like piles. So it's like.
Uh-huh. I've got it. Sardinian music bread is a traditional Italian flatbread whose name originates from its resemblance to ancient parchment.
There we go.
On which the island's sacred music was written.
Thank you, everyone.
See, that would have gone in there had I have known it. My favourite fact that I've
the next edition.
Is did you know what Luxembourgish name for turkey is?
No.
Schnudelhung. Do you know what it means?
Oh, no.
Snot hen. So every time you look at a turkey, you'll know it's a schnudelhung.
I have a feeling snot that they named that before they decided they were going to eat it.
It.
Yeah. That's not like.
I love names and things like that, though. Funny old curiosities. Yeah. Ooh. So definitely poppadoms.
Definitely poppadoms. Are these from anywhere in particular? These poppadoms. Is there like the best poppadoms you've ever had? Did your mum make good ones?
No, we never made poppadoms. I just like Madras ones personally. But from my local takeaway or restaurant.
Yeah, everyone's local one is the one that they tend to like have a fondness for. A lot of time, if you visit people in their hometown, they're like, "We got to go to this curry house." It will blow your mind.
And
you go, it's kind of only slightly not as good as the one that I go to at my house.
It's pretty standard. With curry houses, it tends to be, rather than someone's gone and tried loads of curry houses and they found the best one, it's proximity that matters.
Yeah. Because you can't walk home very easily after two tikka masalas, 20 poppadoms.
Yeah, it's got to be a short roll
10
home.
10 lager pints.
And the best thing about your childhood is that you didn't have to walk home afterwards.
No.
Curry every single night.
Yeah, pretty much.
Does that mean you go really hot with curries now then?
I carry chilies with me.
You carry chilies with you?
Yeah.
Well, oh, wow, Keris is going into her bag.
Yeah, it's a bit dried up, but
loose, no. Loose chilies, not in a separate little bag, just loose chilies, with your keys and your wallet.
That's if I'm desperate. But I usually carry dried flakes with me as well. It's a bit more hygienic.
Loose also?
No, in a bag. I wasn't prepared.
Bunch of flakes of all.
So those loose chilies, what would you do with those? So if you're eating something in a restaurant and it's not spicy enough, you just throw the whole chili in, or do you carry a little knife and chopping board?
Well, usually at a restaurant they give you a knife and fork, so I'll cut it.
Very good point, Keris. Sorry, I'm not an expert.
Handy, isn't it? Yeah.
But no, it all started when, because obviously I was a musician, so we toured a lot. And, when you're eating outside of the normal, because your hours are so irregular, if you're eating outside of the normal hours, you can quite often end up just having like sandwiches, and I can't stand sandwiches. Mm-hmm. You get kind of, it's like cold, wet, damp.
Yes.
You know, really, another cheese sandwich?
Yeah.
Kaiser und whatever it was in Germany.
Yeah, there's no joy in it.
I've got like that recently. Just, I'm done with sandwiches now.
Yeah, first world problem, I know, hands up.
You didn't tell me
charge.
That.
Yeah.
You didn't tell me you were
wraps,
done with sandwiches.
Same
Any
thing.
Of my food
wraps.
People try and keep from you to stay on the podcast. Yeah, wraps are the next to go, aren't they?
Yeah. But having said all of that, if that's the only thing you've got to eat, then if you've got a fresh chili or any Tabasco or hot sauce that you like, to put it on, it makes it a bit more of a... Like the sparkles in the water. It's a bit more of a...
Yes. A bit more of a party.
I used to carry Tabasco around, but it used to spill because the top gets kind of loose. Have you noticed that?
Right.
I don't recommend carrying Tabasco around.
You regularly spill in Tabasco everywhere.
Yeah, it's not a good look. It smells of vinegar.
Yeah.
But, because we used to travel a lot as well on planes, and plane food was kind of miserable. So, yeah, you feel like you've got... you've hit the jackpot when you're sat on the plane and you've got your whole bag of fresh chilies that you think, it's okay, you might not be enjoying this, but I'm eating like a king.
Yeah. Were the rest of the band, were they all like into food and stuff as well? Or were they eating all the rubbish stuff and you were the one with the chilies having a good time?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
I went through a phase of, I found out you could get buy sriracha, little bottles of sriracha with keychain, like a keychain thing on.
Oh, yeah.
So you could put a bottle of sriracha on your keys. But people give you weird looks when you're getting everything out and you've got a bottle of sriracha on your keys.
Yeah.
And I used to run out really quickly, so I just end up with an empty bottle.
What would it be? What part of the bottle was connected to the keychain?
There was like a, so it was like a little an attachment thing, and it would go through the bottle at the end, and then the nozzle would be on the other end.
Yes. Okay.
So it wouldn't be the nozzle
sure.
attached to the lid, because then that's coming off.
Because then that's coming off right away. Yeah. So you're
they thought it through.
Yeah, sure.
They're not dummies at sriracha.
Yeah. But then when you're putting the sriracha on the food, you're jangling around, surely. You're jingling and jangling with your keys.
Oh, sure.
That's why they were looking at you.
Yeah, that's why everyone's jingling every time.
Was he sprinkling on his
sleigh bells in the restaurant.
They could hear me coming.
Yeah, shut up. Yeah.
So we come to your starter, the first of the headliners.
Mm-hmm.
Are they all headliners?
They're all headliners.
The pudding's a headline.
Yeah. I'm going to go for... I lived in Nashville and South Carolina for a total of 6 years. And so I've picked up a lot of love for soul food in the South, like okra and, at the time I was eating meat fried chicken. Oh, and there was like catfish sandwiches.
Oh, yes.
So they were breaded catfish fillets, sweet onions sliced, Tabasco and yellow mustard in cheap white bread. So
nice.
And and it crunched when you eat it.
Yeah,
like that. But I don't. Anyway, that's. But I'm not having the fish for starter.
I love catfish sandwiches. I went to New Orleans for like a holiday, and I found a place that did such amazing catfish sandwiches. And I've been thinking about it. You know, sometimes I don't know if anyone else has this. There are foods that you hear about, and before you've tasted them, you can't stop thinking about them for until you eventually. Like I've never had catfish before, but as soon as I heard, I think I saw. On an episode of Man vs. Food, he did a deep-fried catfish eating challenge.
No.
And he ate, like, about 50 deep-fried catfish or something like that, just putting them away. But I was there going, those look so delicious.
I'd like one of those.
I would love one of them in a sandwich, please.
Because it's the softness of the bread and then the crunch in the middle.
Yeah. Yes.
The double crunch of the fried crust of the fish and the sweet white onion.
Yeah,
it's that gets you.
I've had catfish in Nashville at a terrible chain restaurant, but even they nailed it. Like I think I had blackened catfish, so rather than it being breaded, it had all the like spices on it and stuff.
Yeah.
It was absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
I've caught a catfish with my hands as well.
Lie? No, he lied sometimes.
It's
on
not.
The show.
It's not a lie. It's on a TV show.
That sounds like a lie.
It was in like a. It was caught in a
it was
little
dead,
trap
was it?
Thing.
Yeah.
It was dead. I caught it with my. It was on a plate. It was the blackened catfish. I've already talked about.
It's
been dead for 2 weeks.
No, because you need to hook your hand into its mouth and pull it out of the trap. We put it back and stuff, but they're terrifying looking things.
They are ugly.
Nice line.
Yeah, really.
Sorry,
really,
catfish.
Yeah, sorry, catfish. But ugly. You are. You're real ugly.
Bottom dwellers as well. And you can almost taste the sort of silt and soil in the catfish.
That's put me off ever eating it again, Keris. Yeah, thank you.
I've catch it with your bare hands like a liar would. I did.
It's on film.
Yeah. I actually saw the episode where he does it.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, he does do it.
So that's not your starter, though.
No, I'm going to go for, because I just love the idea that, you know, you hear fried green tomatoes.
Mm.
It's very southern. But you don't have to because, you know, if you don't grow your own tomatoes, you don't usually buy green tomatoes, do you? So if you've got red tomatoes, you can still deep fry them.
Okay.
Or not deep, sorry. You can still fry them.
Yeah.
And again, it's the crunch.
Yes.
And then the nice sort of refreshing, juicy tomato in the middle that I love. And it's super easy. So you need tomatoes, flour, salt and pepper, beaten egg and cornmeal.
Lovely.
See, this is great. So because these recipes are coming from your book, which we've actually got here, normally people just go, I want to go to this restaurant, and we don't know anything about what goes into the dish, how it comes together. This is the first time we've actually
had... Because your book is your favourite meals anyway, right?
Yeah.
That I've been collecting them all my life. So when we toured with the band, or when I was solo, or when I was just travelling anyway, I collected music, but I also collected the favourite ideas and foods and cocktails and poetry. So and curiosities like we were talking about earlier. So I've tried to put them all in there.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So this is one of them. So you don't have to do fried green tomatoes. They're equally as good if you make fried red tomatoes.
I've got a question. When you fry the tomato, how hot does the middle get? Because whenever there's a tomato in, like, even a toasted sandwich...
Too
hot.
It's
dangerous.
Yes.
You bite into it and the tomato will just... It'll just shoot out at you.
Yeah.
Well, I can't be fireball. Health and safety officer. I like fires, so you just have to take that risk yourself.
Little lava.
If you can't stand the heat.
But normally they're sliced up, aren't they? For fried.
You'll
be okay with this one, I reckon.
Oh, that would be hilarious. I have had a deep fried avocado. It's kind of a Tex-Mex idea. That was in a restaurant in Nashville. It's rather nice. Oh, but we sat there and the walls were alive with mice, so we ceased to go there.
Mice?
Yeah, they should
alive
have
with mice?
Yeah, no, literally running up and down like streams of water.
Oh, no.
What the fuck? So, but you sat down and still had a full meal?
Well, we were regulars. We were regulars there. We didn't, you know, we'd go really very often because the margaritas were good as well.
Yeah, because there was a little mouse making them. It's like Ratatouille.
Yeah, shaking that stirred.
So you used to regularly go to a restaurant that had mice running up and down the walls?
No, we'd been regulars for a while until there was this outbreak.
Oh, okay. There was the outbreak of the mice.
And then we ceased to go.
And then you had to stop going.
And then it shut down.
Fair enough.
Poor restaurant.
Would you say there's a distinctive difference between green and red tomatoes? Because I know you can do this recipe with either one of them, but like, is there a difference when you're eating them?
The green ones would be slightly less sweet and slightly more sour and slightly more firm.
Yeah, because green versus red is always a very difficult debate with any kind of food. Like my one, what I think about
just
is
to let you know, James regularly tells a very boring anecdote about green curry versus red curry.
Boring.
And he tries to get it into any episode we do because
right,
he knows that the great
Benito. Should we move on? I'm already kind of like green or red chilies, both.
Do you prefer Thai green curry or red green?
It's a bit racist, isn't it? It's a bit racist.
Thai green curry or Thai red curry? It's not racist.
It is to the curries.
Oh, it is actually.
Yeah.
It's
racist.
Think about that. We've already offended the catfish.
All colours.
Towards curries.
Like, I don't even see colour. I'll just have a Thai curry, please.
It's all about the taste, isn't it?
I like the green ones better. Like
that's your personal choice.
Yeah. Yes.
We don't need to debate that.
No. I can't believe how much I've been shut down on that.
Oh, so sorry, love.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
He deserves it.
Yeah. I was trying to crowbar my boring story in the Benito.
Did you have a new
out.
One?
Huh?
Did you have a new one that you were going to break out?
A new story?
Yeah.
Well, I will see.
Stick to your classics.
You know, I did the DJ my own party. I mentioned that earlier.
That was good though. I thought that was perfect for what we were talking about as well. It was good.
Yeah.
But you were really crowbarring the green and red thing in there because we were talking about
green tomatoes,
red tomatoes.
I could sense it was an old one that you were trying to crowbar. Yeah. And I have never met you before.
But
cold came into the room.
Yeah.
It did, didn't it? What's going on?
I saw a mouse run up the wall.
I know that's a new story for me because you just heard about the mice crawling at the wall.
What would you have the tomatoes with? Would there be like a little sauce with them or a dip or anything, or just as they come?
Like crusty bits of salt on them, just as they come, actually. That's the way I would eat them. I mean, you could make your own coleslaw.
Oh, yeah.
Because the way I like to eat is like having lots of bits and pieces on on the table. So it would be coleslaw, fried green or red tomatoes. You know, you might have some grits. And poached eggs or prawns,
nice.
A bit of a mixture of stuff like that.
Just picky bits.
Yeah,
picky bits.
Maybe a mint julep, you know, to get into the vibe of the South.
Yeah,
so whiskey and lime and sugar.
Lovely.
And
this
mint.
Coleslaw. How are you making coleslaw? Are you using a mayo or is it like a vinegar based?
Oh, never mayo.
No,
because in the South it would go rancid quickly. Uh-huh. So you just use kind of a regular salad dressing with vinegar. A little bit of honey if you want, and oil and salt and pepper.
Nice.
Mustard if you want.
I think we can put that on your starter, can't we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think that sounds like a delicious combo. Yeah.
And dip your feet into the South.
Yeah. When did you live in the South? Like, was it after the band?
Yes. I left the band late 90s, early 2000s, and I went off to do road trips around the South, like looking for the graves of people like Robert Johnson. And, I don't know, I love Mississippi John Hurt and Blind Willie McTell, people like that. So if you know, and then you're driving around the South and then you'll go over Tallahatchie Bridge and you're like, oh my God. You know, there are all these song references everywhere. And so it was great. And there's a place called Itabina, a place called Holly Springs, and all these places that you can try out new things that are new to you anyway, and drink lots of sweet tea.
And they mean sweet, don't they?
Oh, too sweet for me.
Yeah.
And some people are, oh, it's fine, it's healthy, it's half and half. So you've got like half a ton of sugar and half a ton of sweetener in it. Like, no. And there's the other one, because a lot of these places, like, did you know that the county which makes Jack Daniels is called Lynchburg?
Yes.
And it's a dry county, and it can never be made other than anything other than being a dry county because the population isn't big enough to undo the vote or something like that. But it's quite fascinating. Wow. You can go around and see how Jack Daniels is made. But you can just lift the top of the vat up a little bit to sniff, but you can never taste it.
Oh, wow. it's illegal to drink it there.
Yeah.
So they can make it and then ship it out.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to go like across the
county line. Which there's a lot of that in America. Well, it certainly is in the South because they've got different alcohol drinking rules in the county. So, for instance, when I was living in South Carolina, if I wanted to drink on a Sunday, I'd have to hop over the border into North Carolina and maybe get me into a Mexican restaurant who were allowed to sell you beer with food. And all of the different counties have different rules. Like, you can buy beer in some garages, but you can't buy liquor in most supermarkets.
Right.
You have to go to a liquor shop, which you'll find with a red dot. And then you can get spirits, liquor, and wine there, but you couldn't buy wine from a supermarket. So you have to work out your system.
You really seem like you know all the rules as well.
Well, I like food, and I like a little bit of wine with my food.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I mean, it's all the grand tapestry of of wonderful things that we are privy to in this one life that we have on Earth. You have music and food and drink and dance and company and fire.
And always history, ends with the fire.
And history and curiosities, all of these things that make life interesting,
I used to light fire when I was a kid, but I set fire to the toilet roll once while it was still on the wall.
How did you do that?
It's still on the wall.
Hanging on the wall on the little toilet roll thing, and I found some matches and I set fire to the toilet roll. And it went up too quickly because of all the air in between all the slices.
Oh, yeah, all the slices.
Yeah, it went
what
up.
What did you do?
I got told off.
Did you just go and help?
I burnt the wall, I had to get my mum to come and help.
Who told you off? Your mum?
Yeah, my mum told me off.
Oh, better than your dad telling you off, because I imagine your dad telling you off is pretty...
He'd be really angry.
Ed's dad is very...
strict.
Scary.
He's
not strict, and he's not scary anymore, but, things change as you get older, right? He's now I think he's rather silly.
Yeah, you think he's silly now, sure.
Yeah. I think he's got sillier in his old age anyway. But no, I wouldn't set fire to his toilet roll.
I saw a very eminent member of the rugby team, Welsh rugby team, in a hotel. They'd won the Grand Slam and they were celebrating in the hotel, and one of them came out of the toilet. He'd wrapped himself up in toilet paper and he came out and he said, I'm a mummy. And the other member of the team said to me, he thinks he's funny. And then got a lighter and set him alight. He said, that's funny. No rugby players were hurt in this story.
Apart from that one.
But yeah, I've never forgot.
That one, it burnt to a crisp.
No. He didn't, don't try this at home. But I've never forgotten that.
I love a Welsh mummy saying, I'm a mummy, I am.
Absolutely love it.
Some things you never forget.
Oh, I just love that he's won probably the biggest title of his entire career. It's the high point of his rugby career. He goes, I'm going to dress as a mummy.
There's a lot of toilet paper as well, the big lads.
Yeah. Yeah.
To do that for ages, then come out and announce that he's a mummy as well.
Yeah. No, it was very funny, I think.
The size of rugby players, you're going to have to start a new role halfway through, aren't you?
Yeah. I love that you were there as well.
They should put that as an advert instead of the Andrex dog.
Was it just like every prominent Welsh figure was at that celebration?
Yeah, I wouldn't say everyone, but we just happened to be all staying in the same hotel because we'd stay there.
It wasn't a secret Welsh
party. It wasn't all of Wales in one hotel. No.
Started getting excited then.
Alice James wasn't invited.
Alice James would not have been invited. Do you know Alice James?
No.
Bad luck Alice. We're going to just like isolate that and send it to him. He's a Welsh comedian. He does Welsh language comedy and stuff.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Oh, yeah? Now you have.
Yeah, but I said, I don't know him, though.
Oh, okay.
I said, do you know him? No, I don't know him.
Oh, okay.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it. And then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Main course. That's a delicious, also a very nice, like, light, refreshing kind of starter.
Yeah, yeah. It also feels like a treat as well.
Feels like a little treat. So, ramping up to the main course.
All right. Well, I'm going to go, I think I'm going to go Mexican.
Lovely.
No, I might not do that, actually, because you'll think I'm an alcoholic.
Was it just going to be a bottle of tequila?
Yeah.
It had tequila in it.
That's great.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to do it. What the hell?
Do it,
I'm going to do it. It's tequila prawns.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Tequila mockingbird. So basically, super easy, but it looks really, really effective in the kitchen because you sort of basically chop some garlic and you can put some onion if you want, but I don't. But some garlic, oil, you get your prawns, frozen, fresh, whatever you want to use, and then chilies. If you've got chipotle flakes, put them in as well.
From your bags?
Yeah. Yeah. Start cooking that until it's all heated up and the prawns are cooked and it's hot. And then you put in 3 tablespoons of tequila or mezcal and then you set it alight. And it sizzles and
there's
it goes...
that fire.
And it looks like you really know what you're doing. And then salt and pepper and fresh coriander, parsley or mint on top and a little squeeze of lime if you fancy and that's it.
Oh, great. That sounds delicious.
But it looks and smells. It's a whole sort of experience.
Yeah, like proper, like, bit of showmanship as
Yeah.
That seems to be pretty quick as well. Like, how long does that take?
Nothing. No time at all. I like most, because that's the thing, you know, I work as well. I love working and I don't want to come home and you know, be starving. I have the sort of pressure of trying to cook because that wouldn't be kind of that interesting. So it has to be quick. So a lot of these recipes are, like, super quick.
I don't think I'd trust myself to do the fire thing after the toilet roll incident. I sort of...
No, you'd be all right. You'd be all right. Just keep a fire extinguisher in the kitchen. You're fine. Yeah. Or a bucket of water and some sand.
I do the Christmas pudding. I'll like the Christmas pudding. But I always use too much brandy, so we have to wait for like 5 minutes while it burns out.
Yeah.
And then watch it doesn't burn your mouth.
And then try and eat it with the fire still going.
Within the first, I think, month of me moving out of my parents' house and living with flatmates, I left a pot on. I can't remember what happened. I can't remember how it happened, but I remember coming back into the kitchen and it was aflame. And it was all like fire. And I didn't know what to do. And I was so scared of everything catching fire. So I opened, we were on like a third floor flat. I opened the window and I just put the pan out on the window ledge and then shut the window again.
I thought you were going to say you threw the...
No, I didn't throw it out. There was this big window ledge, like quite a big slope. Yeah. So I just put it out on there and then I shut the window to give myself some thinking time. To be like, what am I going to do? I let it burn outside for a bit because I was like, I don't want it to set fire to anything.
And did it work?
No, I put it there and then I decided that I would probably like put... Like, I think I either...
Damped
I think
cloth.
I tried. Yeah, I put a damp cloth on it. Eventually, I know that was not the first thing I did.
Are you living in flats at this point?
At this point, yeah, it's in a flat.
It's super dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know
yeah,
that.
You didn't know what was going on. You I didn't have put a clue. Pan out the window, mate.
I put a pan out the window and then put it out on the ledge, still on fire, a little beacon. But yeah.
What were you cooking?
I have no idea. Now. I think as well, it was a dirty pan,
right?
That I hadn't. So I think I hadn't even started even cooking anything in it yet. I think I just went, put it on there to heat it up, and there was already like scummy old food and oil in there anyway from the last time,
mate.
And it all the old stuff caught on fire. I think that's what happened. I'm better now.
Yeah, I'm not coming around your house.
No.
Well, you like fire. You love fire.
Yeah, when it's good with food, but not scummy old bits
you'll
of
be able
burnt,
to tell what
crispy
flat
oil and fat.
Yeah, you've better see my flat from a mile off. little welcoming beacon there. Just some smoke signals to give some directions.
Yeah, no, that's good.
The prawns sound very... Are these are big prawns you're doing?
No, I don't like big prawns very much.
You don't like big prawns?
No,
interesting.
I was given a jumbo prawn and it was totally jumbo. And I thought...
It was totally jumbo?
It was
totally
jumbo.
Too jumbo for you?
Too much. I mean... Yeah, you know the Rastafaris don't eat prawns because they're sort of they eat the rubbish, don't they?
What's this?
In the Rastafarian religion, they don't eat prawns
because
they eat rubbish. You know, so like again, we mentioned catfish being bottom dwellers. It's that kind of thing.
Okay, because of what they eat, they won't eat the.
No.
I've often thought the whole poop line thing in a prawn should put more.
But that's what
off.
I mean. Imagine the jumbo-sized prawns with a jumbo-sized poop line.
Yeah,
it'll put you off.
Yeah, it's like a washing line.
See, it's like an oil pipe. You know, it's like no, don't want it on my plate. So didn't bode well. It's actually made me eat very few prawns and make sure they're the little ones. You can get tiny little brown prawns as well, and really, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very much enjoying how you two are very much on the same wavelength.
With poop lines?
Yeah, you're just completely vibing off of each other. Yeah, I don't like poop lines either. Like,
well, it should put more people off, shouldn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Because sometimes it
arrests you. Because you have to scrape it off.
Yeah, or if you get it in the right bit at the end, you can. That's quite satisfying to peel out the whole thing and not break the poop line.
Yeah.
It's like skinning a rabbit as well, isn't it? Like when you skin
a rabbit,
if you make a pierce the intestine wall, it can really badly.
Yeah.
Have you skinned a rabbit before?
Yeah, well, my dad did, and it did that. He did that. But don't eat meat now, though. So.
No, not after that. Not after
he skewered a rabbit's
intestine.
So you don't eat meat, but you eat fish?
Well, actually, when I started writing this book, I ate a bit of meat and a bit of fish, but more and more and more, I'm just not eating so much. Yeah. At all.
It's so, easier to not now, I think.
So now this dish is just tequila.
Yeah.
Back to the same. Well, there's a theme coming in this.
Tequila and fire.
It just makes more sense. And my daughter's vegan and my husband's been a vegetarian since he was 18. So basically in the book, you can either, you know, it gives you options to cook it with any of those in mind. So you can make it a totally vegan dish for the most part, not all of it obviously, but you can make it vegan, or you can add meat if you want to eat meat and all that kind of thing.
Great.
I've got vegan Welsh cakes in there, for instance.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I had some nice Welsh cakes.
They're actually really nice. They're more like biscuits. They're a bit crispier.
Yeah. I do like Welsh. I only ever have Welsh cakes though when I'm staying in a hotel in Wales and they leave Welsh cakes in the room for you.
That's quite predictable, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you go out for a meal in Wales when it's a sort of an official affair and guaranteed you'll have lamb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, you know, guys. Shake it up a bit.
Guys. Come on, tequila prawns.
Without the prawns, no pipeline for me.
So I had my Welsh cakes this week in my hotel room in Cardiff.
Because they left them in your hotel room.
They left them in my hotel room in Cardiff. And there was two of them. I had one, and my girlfriend, I think the previous week, had sent me a photo. She was at home, and she'd made herself enough cake mix for 8 fairy cakes, and then just ate the cake mix and didn't do any baking with it.
I'm with her on this.
Yeah, absolutely cool. Right, and she said she loves cake mix, and she said if she was on this programme, her dessert would probably be cake mix.
I love her already. Because I like making Welsh cakes and not cooking them either, so it's just like,
Well, this is the thing. It's like I had this particular Welsh cake, and I felt like...
It was overcooked?
I felt like it turned into cake mix in my mouth.
Right.
Does that make sense? So I felt like I was just eating cake mix after all.
That's good then.
Yeah, and I said to her, you'd love this, because it's like just like cake mix. And she ate it and disagreed with me and said it was not like cake mix.
Mm. What were you doing in Cardiff?
But I was doing a gig. I was doing a gig at the Millennium Centre.
Oh, okay.
In between that, I was eating Welsh cakes and ordering Bloody Marys at the bar.
Nice.
Also, there was like a thing with the bar where there was two bars in this hotel, and one bar,
one red, one green,
one red, one green. Now tell me this,
which is the best one?
There was one bar was just for this function that was a PTA meeting, right. And one bar was for the guests, and the PTA one was always full, and they ran out of beer as well. So the PTA people were coming over to the guest bar trying to get guests to buy them booze. And I was buying men more than twice my age, beer, like they were teenagers.
Why were you buying them beer?
Because they recognised me. And they were like, come on, James, get me some beer. And I was like, well, otherwise I'm a wanker now. Because they would go and go, James Acaster doesn't buy people beers. Like
I don't think that's what you had to do, man.
Well, I did it. They gave me the money, and then I went and ordered them for them.
They played you like a fiddle.
Yeah, they really did.
Yeah,
they gave you the money, and they made you. That's the most demeaning thing I've ever heard.
I just showed them my hotel room key because they wouldn't serve the guys. They were like, we won't serve them. They don't live here.
They don't live here.
Yeah, so I had to go over and get them for them.
Oh, they played you like a fool, mate.
No, it feels like it now.
Yeah.
What side dish are you going to go for with this very nice, tasty mate? Also, so far, pretty light. The whole thing feels light and nice. Room for a substantial side dish if you wanted, I'd say.
I'm going to do chickpea and potato curry.
Mm. Lovely.
Jamaican style. So in Jamaica, we go quite a lot to Jamaica. My husband loves it there and signed quite a few artists because he's got a massive reggae collection. And so we go there a lot. And basically the seasoning, the key of the curry is going to be fresh. They use fresh thyme.
Yeah.
Scotch bonnet, garlic, ginger, and onion, and spring onion. And I think that's it. Turmeric, cumin, coriander, pimento, cayenne. Yeah. And some potatoes and chickpeas.
Mm.
And coconut milk.
Oh, coconut milk.
But those scotch bonnets, that smell. Oh my gosh. And a pinch of jerk seasoning. I'm getting really hungry.
That is the problem with this podcast. We make people talk about their favourite foods, but we don't provide any snacks. So afterwards, we all end up just eating.
Starving. Your stomach's eating itself. Yeah. Mine is already.
Also, whenever anyone mentions a scotch bonnet, I mean, he's already been mentioned on the podcast, but I always think of Ellis James.
Do you?
Yeah, because Ellis once made a risotto and he decided to put a scotch bonnet in there.
Yeah.
But he scraped out all the seeds and put the seeds in them, and he basically made quite a... It was quite mild, actually. He said it was because he got rid of all the seeds and put them in the bin and just kind of chopped up. He was quite underwhelmed by it.
Oh. I thought you were going to say spice. He touched his eyes or something.
No, yeah, but
I hate to say it, I've chopped a chilli and then picked my nose. And that is the worst thing you can do. There's the rest of the night. I snorted a whole pint of water, which is known as an opposite Bourdain.
So as you're cooking, you're picking your nose.
Yeah. This was after, so I chopped.
He celebrates with a little nose pick afterwards.
Oh, okay.
You've got to relax somehow after you've cooked, right?
It's his food, and then he gets...
It's my happy place up there.
Yeah.
And then I touch the... And because it's a sensitive area up there as well.
Yeah.
Ouch.
On fire. Ouch. It was absolutely awful.
This was on fire.
Of course, people have done worse.
Yeah.
Yes.
Much worse.
But we're not going down there.
No.
Fair enough. It's your episode. Karis? No, I mean, I'm not ready to take it into semia conversation topics.
Ed's very blue.
I'm
I do.
Very blue, yeah. You're not, are you, James?
No, I can't decide if I'm red or green. Yes! You've got to keep all of it in now, Benito. Fuck you. So this, how big's it? Because this is your... So here's what's... I'm thinking, Karis, is that your main actually sounds like a side and your side sounds like a main.
Isn't this a main, isn't it? Isn't this my main?
Ah, so did you do your side first?
I see. Yeah, no, but the thing is, I don't roll like that, see? I don't like... Do you know, my pet hate, actually, is having a plate of food mounded with food and that's it. I can't stand it because I like lots of food in the middle of the table that I can pick at and help myself to, but somebody serves me like masses of food, like dollops it on my plate like that. Yeah. I don't like it.
So of course this situation is we're asking you for a main and a side, but we can mix it up. We can just say that's, what should we call them though?
Just call them anything you want. Pink, green, red.
Red. Well, let's not go down that road again.
No, just.
Well, I've still not done my story yet. There's still room for me to do the story. If it comes up organically, you said it was fine.
Yeah, but you could do what you want. If you want to call the tequila prawns a side and the chickpea curry the main, you can do that.
I feel like that. If I was like to sit down, I'd want like a main's worth of chickpea curry.
Yeah.
And those lovely tequila prawns as a side.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like that. That's what I would like.
Let's flip them then.
Actually, yeah, flip them. Okay.
We can always flip them.
Flip. Damn,
I need you in the kitchen with me to design the menu.
You've got to put up with a lot of boring stories around these.
I love headphones.
Occasional
on.
Moments of clarity. Well, I just waffle on.
Just for an hour and then suddenly, Karis?
And was there so? Is this from your childhood, the chickpea curry? Or was it
no, this is relatively new. We went to Jamaica about... last Christmas, mm-hmm. last time, and then came home, and one of my neighbours is from Jamaica, and they cooked me a potato curry, and I was like, oh, damn, this is good. Mm. And so I have them to thank.
What's your favourite thing to do in Jamaica when you go there?
My favourite thing to do?
Yeah.
The sea is just ridiculous, the uh-huh. turquoise seas, and you can canoe around, so if you're nice. in one area, and get a canoe, and you can canoe around to beaches where there's nobody else, and there's some trees there that grow, and there's massive seeds, and you can just start wandering around thinking where these seeds came from, or you know where they're going to float to, and things like that, and drinking pina colada.
Yes,
because it's made with fresh coconut and fresh pineapple. Wow. And the rum, which was invented by the people that were working the plantations, the slaves invented rum, and the story is just amazing that, you know, that this is where it all began.
Oh, I love pina coladas. I haven't really had them much since I did. There's a TV show, I've probably stopped now, called Drunk History.
Yeah.
And it's just comedians getting drunk and then trying to retell a story from history. And I did it, and I knew that, you know, they show what drinks you've had. They kind of like do little rundowns of all the drinks you've had in order to get as drunk as you are. And so I thought it'd be funny just to drink pina coladas and have as many as I could to kind of like so that it came up on the screen that I've had that many pina coladas. And since then, I've not had a pina colada.
No rum for you. Because no, it totally really does affect your brain so quickly, your memory. It doesn't mine anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are your jokes and your historic jokes? How many did you have to have when you started really losing the plot?
Well, I had to tell a story about how the... I can't even remember it now. So it was like how Thomas Becket became the Archbishop of Canterbury, I think, is what I had to tell the story of. And there was one phrase, which is like a real famous phrase, I think, where the king says, "Won't someone rid me of this interminable priest?"
Yes.
And I could not, for the life of me, remember. And they kept on prompting me and being like, "And what did they say?" And I was like, he said... suck it, this guy can suck it. And they were like, "No, you gotta do that." And I was there for a very long time of saying a bunch of stuff that he didn't say, and I could not remember it at all. We were there for 8, and also I hadn't really eaten much, and I kept on needing to go for a wee because I drank so much, and they were like, "Please, just James, it's a couple more." I was like, no, I'm gonna piss
but
myself.
But that's what they do. Like, I've done Drunk History up. As well. And I
where
think,
do you access this on YouTube?
I think mine's on YouTube.
It's on Comedy Central. I don't know if mine's on YouTube. Obviously.
I think I had 12 double gin and tonics and 7 double vodka Red Bulls. Like I had a lot.
Holy
But I was just free pouring. So I don't remember. I don't remember the second half of it. But I remember the director does that. They go like, we just really need to get this last bit. It's like, you're the one who's told me to get drunk.
Yeah, yeah. You've
you can't
got
be surprised. You can't be surprised.
Ed phoned me. I was in... So that New Orleans holiday that I said about, when I was in the airport about to come home, I got a phone call from Ed. And I thought, I'm going to ignore that because I'm in America. It cost him loads of money. And then he phoned again and then again. I was like, well, it might be an emergency. So I answered it and it was just Ed had basically just done drunk history and was just giggling down the phone at me and being like, hello, oh dear, oh no. And then it became a tradition where I did another thing and my phone rang, Sarah Pascoe. I thought, oh, Pascoe doesn't normally ring me. Just laughing down the phone. I was like, are you doing drunk history? It's like, yes, Ed told me I have to ring you. It just became a thing that comics would go and get drunk and I'd have to ring me every time. I'd have to be like talking through, yep, no, you're doing very well.
I can't believe you have pina coladas though, because I see that's quite a sickly drink. Yes. You can't have more than two.
Was it your theory that it was more sustaining though? It was a bit more food in it.
My theory was that it'd be funny. So I just thought it'll be funny when it comes up on the screen that I drank that many pina, because everyone else is like beers or gin and tonics or like pretty standard you drink going out. Yeah. And mine was just like, yeah, James has had 12 pina coladas. and then when I got home, I remember getting home and ringing my girlfriend at the time and talking to her and just being like, oh, so happy to have so much fun. And then I forgot I put the washing machine on a timer and the washing machine went off. I was like, the house is haunted! And I was really convinced. I was like, there's a ghost in the house! I swear to God! I swear I'm not fucking around! I wasn't anywhere near that washing machine and it just started by itself. And it was doing a whole wash by itself and I didn't even think I loaded it. And there's all the clothes in there, it's washing. Oh, Jesus Christ! I was really scared about the haunted washing machine. And tonight, after this, in the evening, I'm doing a podcast, different podcast, I'm a guest on it. And the whole point of that is you get drunk. I don't want you to think that. See, you were worried that we would think you're an alcoholic because you had tequila in the prawns dish.
Yeah.
I'm literally telling you that most of my work is binge drinking related. So that brings us very neatly into what your drink would be in your dream meal.
Well, we're just like jumping from country to country here. Mm. So we've been to South America, South Mexico, the turquoise waters of Jamaica. We're going to now go to Ireland.
Ah,
because within the 15 countries, because you know when you're cooking at home or when you want to eat at home, how do you go about choosing what you're going to eat? Not for cooking, but for eating. So you go to yourself, shall I go to the Mexican? Shall I go to the Chinese? Shall I go get pizza, Italian? You know, that's how I think anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it made sense to do that, the cookbook that way as well. So if you fancy Chinese, you can go into the China chapter. If you fancy Mexican, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so that also includes British food.
Yeah.
But I thought it'd be interesting to do it in... the four nations. So you've got Irish food, Scottish food, Welsh food, and English food as well. which is really cool because you get Yorkshire puddings in England.
Yes.
And I love Yorkshire puddings.
That's
and that you can make pancakes.
Topic on this podcast.
With, yes. Really? Why?
I hate Yorkshire puddings.
I love them.
Oh, well, that's when our things in common is that.
We're not vibing off each other anymore.
Bad luck.
Yeah.
All good things must come to an end. You absolutely idiot.
Yeah. Cut the. What's the name of that?
The umbilical cord.
The umbilical cord.
Gone.
Oh.
I didn't realise we were attached by an umbilical cord up until this point. That was a revelation to me.
Yeah, yeah, you're a little baby. I'm a grown
boy. That's why I need my chickpea and potato curry. No, I think they're like big pancakes.
Idiot. Just call them an idiot. It's okay. Be as weird as you like when he says this kind of stuff. It's ignorant.
Yeah, I like Yorkshire puddings.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Even
bland.
Not a single guest has agreed with you so far.
No, well, I'm going to.
Anyways, we're not going to make Yorkshire puddings.
Right. Well,
we're
making
a drink. So we're going to go to Ireland.
Yeah.
This is an absolute. Like, what I love the best about cooking is that you can have relatively small amounts of ingredients. This one in particular is just three. But when you put them together, it's more than the sum of its parts.
Mm.
So your three ingredients are Tia Maria, vodka, and half a pint of Guinness.
Oh, yes.
Right? I'm not being funny, but when you get yourself a half pint, you pour in your shot of Tia Maria, you pour in your shot of vodka, and you fill it up with your Guinness, ideally from the draft.
Yes.
Or with a widget, if you know.
We can have draft. It's the dream restaurant. Yeah. It's the draft.
If you sip it, chocolate. Pure chocolate. And it's called Death by Chocolate.
Oh.
Oh, lovely. Very nice. Really I like good. A sweet, boozy cocktail.
Yeah, I'm a pina colada man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, yeah, something that just tastes perfectly like chocolate, but is actually three types of booze. Pretty great.
Yeah. And it, tell you who gave me that recipe was Ian Brown from the Stone Roses.
Did he now?
Yeah. And it's best gift you can give somebody is a gift of ideas like that.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Stay with you all your life. And if you don't like Christmas shopping, that's you go into an old pub and you have a half a pint of that stuff or even two and then you lose it and you lose all the history. And then it makes Christmas shopping kind of bearable because you just don't care. You've got this warm fuzzy feeling.
Everyone's asking why they've been given Guinness for Christmas.
Yeah.
No, try it honestly, try it at home because
I absolutely love Guinness.
It's
I'm totally
so
gonna try
chocolatey
that.
What other musicians have given you recipes?
I've had chefs that Yasmin Khan. I love Yasmin Khan's book Saffron Tales. She's given me a book of poetry. Does that count?
No, it's kind
I suppose
of,
a poem.
Kind of both elements are the opposite of what I asked.
I was being more generous. I think a poem is a recipe of words.
Thank you.
Oh yeah,
I love that.
Yeah. Oh, the umbilical cord.
Back in there.
Resealing itself back again. I can see. Refused. Yorkshire Pudgate is over.
Tom Jones gave me cigars. Does that count?
Yeah, is that a recipe for cigars?
We're getting closer.
Yeah.
I can't think now. No, that's the only one I can think of.
That would be an interesting cookbook as well. Like, maybe that's for your next cookbook. You could do, like, just recipes from musicians. And each... So you kind of, like... You don't even have to come up with recipes yourself. You just ask each musician. We arrive at your desserts,
which
is always my favourite course. Ed can take or leave it.
I'm a starter boy, really.
He's a little starter boy.
I'm savoury as well.
Yeah, there you go.
I can tell. pretty sure you two would agree on that.
Well, I was going to do some Moroccan amlu and thousand hole pancakes. Ooh. Amlu's great because it's all you need is ground nuts. Like you can use tahini, you can use peanut butter or almond butter. Add a bit of honey and a bit of oil, like sesame oil or walnut oil, and you put it together and it makes a lovely alternative to using Nutella. So you don't have to go and buy these big brands anymore. It's called Amlu, and you put it on pancakes. I know you love pancakes. But these are 1,000-hole pancakes, so when you're cooking them, all these holes pop up. But I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I think we should end with my own home country.
Yeah, I think we should.
The aforementioned Welsh cakes, because you really liked them, didn't you?
Yes.
But I'm going to do vegan ones instead.
Oh, okay.
So my daughter's vegan, and she's given me what you can do if you're making vegan, if you're baking, and you're baking for a vegan, you can change, instead of using eggs, you can use chia seeds, how do you say
them? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
With a bit of water.
Yes.
And the amounts are... For one egg, for the equivalent of one egg, 1 tablespoon of ground chia, and 3 tablespoons of water. Put it in the fridge so it congeals, then use instead of the egg. And that works for your Welsh cakes. And they're really crispy, lovely, biscuity Welsh cakes. I've got another dessert in case Welsh cakes is not enough.
Okay.
Because I quite like it when you go to restaurants and they give you little tastes of more than one dessert. Do you know what I mean? That's become a bit of a CC fashion thing now. You get a little tray and there's about 3 or 4
in shot glasses
exquisite...
or something.
Yeah, I love that. Anything with shot glasses. No. So this is one I picked up when I was a child in Spain. I love Spain. Mm. I love Spanish food as well and music and all the rest of it. But anyway, super simple. You know those little small melons that are bright orange in the middle?
Yeah.
They're bigger than a tennis ball. But not as big as a football.
Yes.
You need one of those. Cut it in half, pull out the seeds, and get a really nice bottle of Jerez sherry or any sherry that's in your cabinet still. And pour it into that hole and give it to your guests with a spoon.
I saw that one in the book. That one really stood out because it's very colourful. A great picture of it in the book. And it's called just melon with sherry.
Yeah.
And then you put the recipe in there, just bung some sherry and some melon.
Because it's the idea. Had you thought about doing it before?
No, absolutely
Have
not.
Have you tasted it?
No, I don't.
It's like death by chocolate. It's like, holy shit, this is alchemy. This is magic. This is so easy, but so damn good.
It does. I will be trying it, for sure.
Yeah, of course. I'm probably doing it tonight on this other podcast I'm doing. Yeah. Give me some melon and some sherry, please.
You should have done that on Drunk History. You would have gone through about eight melons.
That would have been great. James has had 10 sherry and melons.
Now, before you read the order back, I'm going to say it. I know Keris was worried that we were going to think badly of her for using so much booze. I think this is the booziest meal we've had on off menu.
Well, yeah.
You switched the dessert to sherry melon.
The thing is, so I'd say...
It all goes.
The other boozy episodes we've had have been from chefs. It's been very, you know, to be fair, alcohol has been very successful.
People like it.
Yeah, yeah. You would like some sparkling party water.
Yeah.
Poppadoms to start from your local curry house. Fried green tomatoes as your starter.
With a coleslaw, maybe?
With a coleslaw on the side there.
Oh, yeah.
For your main, originally the side, but it got switched out, was the chickpea and potato curry. And then your side, originally the main, but switched out, is your tequila prawns. Drink, Death by Chocolate, as recommended by Ian Brown. Half Guinness, Tia Maria vodka. Dessert, vegan Welsh cakes / melon with sherry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Feel good about
it? Ideal. Bon appetit.
That sounds lovely.
I mean, I'd be well up for sitting down and having all of that.
I'd be very happy to eat all of that.
Where's this wild cook going now? Where are you headed after this?
God, I don't know. Where do you fancy going?
Jamaica?
Just go and get a melon and
out of all the places you described.
I'm going
to
read you a poem before we say goodbye.
Oh, yes,
because
do.
I thought, I'm going to stick in Wales.
Last time a guest read a poem.
Or do you want a story instead?
Oh, I kind of want both now.
You might have to edit this.
I think a poem.
I think a poem would be lovely.
You've got to listen to this when you'd like it. It's from the Mabinogion, and it's how not to deal with your enemies. I'll just do a small version of it, okay? So he rose up and put his 2 feet into the bag, and push turned up the sides of the bag so that Gwawl was over his head in it. And he shut the bag up quickly and slipped a knot upon the thongs and blew his horn. And thereupon, behold, his household came down upon the palace. And they seized all the hosts that had come with Gwawl and cast them into his own prison. And Pwyll threw off his rags and his old shoes and his tattered array. And as they came in, every one of Pwyll's knights struck a blow upon the bag and asked, "What is here?" "A badger," said they. And in this manner they played, each of them striking the bag. This is with a guy in it, remember? Striking the bag either with his foot or with a staff. A stick, in case you were wondering. And thus played they with a bag. Everyone as he came in asked, "What game are you playing at thus?" "The game of badger in the bag," said they. And then was the game of badger in the bag first played.
Thank you. I could have listened to that for a lot longer.
Yeah, totally. That was
very
great.
Good. I had to read an audiobook once that I actually wrote, and you just made me realise I did an absolutely shit job. So it was way more expressive. It was so. I wanted to hear the whole thing. That was great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
But now we can all go and play badger in the bag.
What a lovely menu. And if you listen, you can go back and listen. You probably work out how to cook them. She almost gave us the full recipes.
Yeah, very detailed recipes. And I tell you what, I'm going to try. Death by Chocolate sounds delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm actually, after this, Ed, a little inside info. Yes. Later on this evening, I've got to do a podcast where I have to get drunk for it. It's a bit naughty. I'm a guest on that one.
Yes.
And I think I'm going to make that my drink, if they'll let me.
Oh, well, don't have too many, because we're recording tomorrow.
Okay, I'll be a good boy.
So be a good boy. Don't have too many. It'd be awful if we had to record lots of podcasts and you were hungover.
Yes. Well, I do have to get drunk for the podcast tonight. So
Okay, but don't, just be sensible.
Okay.
Also, you may have noticed Keris did not say sugar work, which is why she was allowed to remain in the restaurant. Well done, Keris.
Congratulations, Keris.
Congratulations. And her book is Where the Wild Cooks Go. That is out now. And she's also doing a live tour of it where she's, you know, reading out recipes, doing poems, doing some of those stories. Like, she did a story.
She's been eating her in the bag.
Pretty sure she did all the bag man stuff. So go and check that out if you Google
Jungle Penguin Live. You can find out more about that. We've got some food in front of us, James.
Oh, yummer, yummer.
Yummer, yummer. We've some cans of wine from Nice.
Yeah, we've got some Fentimans.
Fentimans soda.
Soda.
The rose lemonade is one of my girlfriend's favourite drinks.
Oh, is it now?
Yeah, so very, very happy to receive some of that.
My friend in Pokemon in.
And also, we were sent some brownies from Lola's.
Delicious brownies.
A little box of brownies.
We've been very naughty with those, haven't we, all day.
Oh, we've been so naughty.
We've been so naughty.
If you like our vibes, then you should check out our stuff. I'm at Gamble Comedy on Twitter and Instagram. I've got a live stand-up comedy special on Amazon Prime Video. Go and check that out as well. And I'm on tour and all that jazz. James, what are you up to, mate?
I'm at James Acaster, and there's nothing you can do about it. And also, I have a book out called Perfect Sound Whatever, about how 2016 is the greatest year for music of all time.
But for now, we will see you again in the Dream Restaurant.
I'm off to get drunk. Best night of my life. Death by chocolate.
Be careful.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah, if people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.